We're excited. It's a wonderful day. We've been waiting a couple of years for this, haven't we? And God has worked it out to be a part of a wonderful baptism. So upon the command of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and upon your profession of faith in Him, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, and Son, and the Holy Ghost. Savior Jesus Christ, and upon your profession of faith in Him, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, and Son, and the Holy Ghost, buried in His death, raised in His likeness.
Just start running, hoping that you
Wow, it's good to be here today. What a great start to the service. Isn't that something? My goodness. Go ahead and stand with me while the rest of the folks are coming in. They can stand. We're going to read several verses today. We're looking at the seventh miracle, the last miracle performed by Jesus in the Gospel of John within his ministry. Even though miracles were performed in John after he was resurrected, these are leading up to when Christ died on the cross. So the last one is the raising of Lazarus. So we're going to be in John chapter number 11, read about 44 verses. Verse number 1 says, "Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that, saith he to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again?
Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, but he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him." These things said he, and after that he said unto them, "Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but go that I may awake him, but I go that I may awake him out of his sleep." Then said his disciples, "Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well." Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him." Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." Then when Jesus came and found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went to meet him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, "Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee." Jesus said unto her, "Thy brother shall rise again." Martha said unto him, "I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" She saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world." And when she had said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, "The Master is come and calleth for thee." As soon as she heard that, she rose quickly and she came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, "She goeth unto the grave to weep there." Then when Mary was come with Jesus, where Jesus was, and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, "Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died." When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said unto him, "Lord, come and see." Shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, "Behold, how he loved him." And some of them said, "Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died?" Jesus therefore again groaned in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, "Take ye away the stone." Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, "Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said unto her, "Said I not unto thee that if thou would believe, thou should see the glory of God?" Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes, and he said, "Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I know that thou hearest me always, but because of these people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me." And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot, and with grave clothes, and his face was bound up about with a napkin. And Jesus said unto them, "Loose him and let him go." Father, we just praise you for such an amazing event. We're in awe of your presence, God, because of the power that you have, that the demonstration of that power, God, and all the elements that came together, all the things that you coordinated for that special moment when you were going to raise Lazarus from the dead. So much, God, that we can think about. And as we look into this amazing miracle, God, may you just guide the message today and your Holy Spirit have his way to teach us and show us what we need to be reminded of in this beautiful miracle. God, we pray your blessings. I ask your forgiveness of my sins. Cleanse me, God, to be usable and pliable by you, that you, Jesus, would be glorified in the remainder of this message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, this is the big daddy right here. This is the big daddy. This is the raising of Lazarus. And when we think about it, I'm thinking, wow, it needed to be in the Gospel of John. It needed to be in there, and it needed to see what Christ did and the relationship that Christ had. I think we also see kind of that human side of Christ, don't you think? That because Jesus wept, well, He's God, He's still the Lord, and He knows that He's going to raise Him from the dead, but at the same time, while He's standing before the grave, He wept. What's up with that? Well, it just shows us that there's a human side to Jesus as well. Yeah, He's God, He's all-powerful, He can do all things, but at the same time, He's in this human body, and He also has emotions that He deals with. He loves somebody. He shows us how we need to love and care for other people. And it literally just shows us that not only is Jesus the Son of God, but He is also the Son of man. And I'd have no idea how that works. I just choose to believe that it works, but that's who Jesus is. So what I wanted to do is kind of look through this miracle. There are so many places we could go and so many things we could pull out, but just a few thoughts that I want to remind you of in the midst of this miracle. The first being this, the timing. I guess in all the things, aside from the actual miracle itself of Lazarus being raised from the dead, is the timing issue. You ever wonder, God, do you have a timing problem? Do you have a timing issue? Are you unable to be where you need to be when you need to be there? John chapter 11, verse 21 says, "Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother would not have died." How many times have we kind of said that? Maybe it's not about somebody dying as much as just the situation that we're in and dealing with circumstances. How many times have you really, really, really wanted God to show up and it seemed as though God did not show up when you wanted Him to show up? That happens to me quite often. Does that happen to you quite often? Do you identify with that? That I've got a structure, I've got a set plan, I've got what I think needs to happen and needs to work, but God's not showing up when I expect God to show up. And in my mind, God is either way too early or God is more than likely it's going to be, I feel He's way too late and God's not showing up when I need Him here. We need to understand the timing of God and how beautiful the timing of God is. Jesus, God made flesh, Christ, intentionally waited. We know why. We know that if He had gone on and He had met Lazarus, what would have happened if Jesus had went on and met Lazarus while Lazarus was sick? Well, He would have healed him, no doubt. He went straight to his house. I believe He would have healed him. That's what Jesus does. So Jesus intentionally stayed back from the house because as long as He's there with Lazarus, He's going to heal him and he's going to be fine. Now, would that not have been miracle enough? No doubt it would have been miracle enough. That would have been amazing. Another person being healed of an issue, a sickness, a disease, blindness, being lame, whatever it is, just be another miracle to add to what Jesus had already done. But no, Jesus waited until He had been dead for 4 days. The timing, if you're Mary or Martha, the timing of God stinks. Go ahead and say it. We all believe it. We all have been there because I have things that I feel like I want God to do in my life and through my life and in lives of people around me. You know, we start to check up when that happens too. I start to pray, well, what is it that's wrong with me, God, that you're not doing this? You're not answering. You're not responding. What is my problem? What did I do wrong? We start checking ourselves up, which is always a good thing to do. Always check yourself up. Always check up. They say check up from the neck up. We've got to make sure we're where we need to be. Make sure we're in the game. Make sure I'm where I need to be with Christ. That's always a good thing. But to start to doubt the timing of God can become a scary thing. Jesus waited until the Hebrew boys were cast in the furnace. He was in there waiting for them. Could He have done something different prior to them being cast in that fiery furnace? Absolutely. There are a million things that God could have done to save those guys. They could announce a special decree that we're going to give exemption to these three Hebrew men and we're not going to cast them in the fire. There could have been a lot of things happen to prevent those guys from dying. But the thing about God's timing is this. God wants us to know within His timing that He is the only one that can work in that time frame, if that makes sense to you. God wants us to understand and to really grasp hold of the fact that if things happen within our timing, we may want to take a little bit of credit for it. If it happens, if I know that I'm going to do a job and I get paid from that job because I have that money designated to go somewhere else, if I feel like I've made that money and then that bill arrives and I pay that, I've accomplished that. What happens when the check don't come in? What happens when things don't seem in life to work the way I want them to work? And I feel like I'm prayed up. I feel like I'm where I need to be with God. God, why is your timing missing out? I got to know this, and I got to keep drilling it in my head that God's timing is perfect. Jan and I have been talking for 2 years about baptism. She's going to turn away now. She's not going to look at me. But it has honestly been a beautiful story, and we've talked a lot about it, and you know, just a little bit of fear of the water and those kind of things. And a lot of folks are in that situation. And, you know, I've prayed about it off and on. I know she has prayed a lot about it, and we've talked about it, and just following in that act of obedience of baptism is a beautiful thing to experience. But if you have some issues, that can be somewhat of a terrifying thing. And so, lo and behold, I met with Jade and talked with her, Jan's daughter, and she lives in Florida, for those of you that don't know. Jade is searched for churches in her area that she lives in, and it's not knocking those churches to say they're not good churches, but this is home to her. We're home to her. Amen. And so she asked if she could become a member of our church here because this is home to her. And man, that excited me. We're going to have a satellite church down in Florida now. We're going to present her at the end of the service. So, but anyway, what I'm getting back to the timing is this. Jade, the last few years has been saved, and she comes to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. And she desired to follow Him in baptism. And I'm thinking, the timing of God is perfect. That gave Mom the courage she needed to be able to get down in that water. And y'all saw how beautiful that was. It was a beautiful sight, wasn't it? Okay. How do we deny the timing of God when we see things like that unfold? How do we deny that God has been working this whole time? How do we deny that? We can't deny it. We got to understand God's timing is always perfect. If God is doing something or if He's not doing something, know this, He's still doing something. We may not see it, we may not notice it, we may not think about it, but God is always at work. Here's why the timing of God is perfect. I'm going to read another passage of Scripture, John 11:23. Jesus said unto her, "Thy brother shall rise again." Now I'm going to back up a few verses and read John 11:15 that goes perfectly with the timing of God. Here's what it says. Jesus said, "I am glad for your sakes that I was not there." What kind of a Lord is He? I am glad that I was not there. He goes on to say, "To the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto Him." The word intent here means purpose. So He's saying, I'm glad I wasn't there because I have purpose. I have purpose even in Lazarus dying. Wow. Okay, that's a whole new thing right there. You mean God has purpose even in people that die? Yes. How many people have got saved when they've seen a grandparent die? How many people, family members connected to the family, they've seen somebody that they know has been just a devoted follower of Christ and well, you call it a funeral, but we call it more or less a celebration. Child has finally gone home. Their struggle and fight is over and they're there with the Lord. And how many people have you seen because they saw the life that person lived and they feel and experience the fact that they know they're in heaven and they get saved because of that? There is purpose and intent. Jesus said, there is an intent for Him to die because I'm going to go raise Him from the dead and it's going to cause a lot of people to believe. Wow, that's why the timing of God is perfect, because He has purpose in His timing. Everything God does is precise, and everything He does has intent and it has purpose. We may not see it. You know what? I don't see all the time. I don't see all the intent. I don't see the purpose all the time. Sometimes with my thick brain, it takes me a little longer. Oh, yeah, God, I get why you did that. You know, 10 years later. Oh, I understand now. I see why you put this together. I see why you pulled that apart. I see why you, yeah. It's a purpose that God has in our lives. We need to understand there's always purpose in everything that God does. There are some things that happen in our life that God doesn't bring on or in our lives, but God definitely has an intent or a purpose to make good out of everything that happens in our life, whatever it might be. So with the raising of Lazarus, I need to understand and be reminded that God's timing is perfect and God has purpose for everything that He does. You know what? The purpose that God has in our lives sometimes is really going to aggravate us on the front end. Have you ever been aggravated about what God does? You ever get a little bit worked up when God puts something on your heart? You ever get nervous when the preacher comes and says, I want you to pray about something? Because it means something for you to do, not for me to do, mostly. You ever, we get just a little bit flustered at times. We want, God, but what we've got to do is go back to these fundamental beliefs and say, God's timing is perfect. God's purpose is from heaven. And I need to listen to Him. I don't need to do so much thinking. I need to do a whole lot more praying and trusting and believing. And here's why the timing of God is perfect. Here's why He has purpose in all the things. Because He wants to demonstrate His power. Not because He wants to just appear strong, but God, what's the words of that song? Tell me, what was the verse of that song? God, Jesus is what? Powerful, more, greater, stronger, something like that? Bigger, better. I love that. You see, that's what He wants to demonstrate in His power. He wants everybody to see He is the greatest and nobody is equal to Him. Nobody even close to Him. John 11:25, Jesus said unto Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. We've been looking at, this is the seventh miracle in the Gospel of John. We've looked at six other miracles that Christ has performed. It is amazing how He demonstrates His power. He don't just show off. You ever see people just show off when they're good at something? I'm looking to see who everybody's looking at, what I'm doing. Everybody looking around, yeah, huh? You ever show off? Or do you know a show off because they're good at something? I got to be honest, if I'm good at something, I'm probably going to show off. I'm just not very good at many things. But Jesus is not just showing off. What Jesus is doing, we know the timing. We know that God has a purpose behind it. But we know the demonstration of power, the intent of the demonstration of power is to accomplish one thing. One thing, it is to draw not only the person that He's performing the miracle to, but it's everybody else to draw everybody to Him. That's the goal. That's the reason for the power. It's to identify that Jesus was sent by the Father. He said, I know that you hear everything I say. I know that you hear every prayer I pray, but I'm speaking out loud so everybody else here can know that when I raise Lazarus from the dead, the Father is identifying with the Son, and I am sent by my Father. It's the connection, it's the demonstration of power to identify Jesus Christ as being the Messiah and the Christ. So we must be careful to not take credit for anything that God does. We're pretty good at that. I'm pretty good at that. We can take credit for things that are happening wonderfully in our lives. I'd love to take credit for the reason these two ladies were baptized today. I have absolutely nothing to do with that. That's God. I got to be a part of it and watch it. That's the good part, but When God works in our lives, just as quick as we are to lift up our problems and our petitions and our requests, we need to be just as quick to acknowledge Him for His power and how He works in our lives and how He keeps us from harm, how He protects us, how He guides us and leads our lives. Wow, we need to acknowledge God more, the power that God has available to us. I can't even comprehend the power level that God has. I can't even, we can't go there. Our minds are not able to go to what God is able to do. He held the sun and the moon. I mean, we try to put things in perspective that we can sort of visualize or imagine in our mind. He held the sun and the moon. He opened up the Red Sea and held the Red Sea for probably 8-9 hours for everybody to cross over. This is child's play for Him. This is nothing for Him. The miracle of the water that just appeared in the ditches when they dug the ditches and the holes because they needed water there. Their animals needed water. The soldiers needed water. And the miracle that was performed, Elisha said, this is but a light thing for God. The miracle part is the easy thing. God is great at miracles. The hard part is getting you and I to believe He can do it. That's the challenge. That's where the difficulty comes in. But seeing the power of God demonstrated and connecting Christ to the Father, we're able to acknowledge that and pass that on to others. Well, the next thing is really tough for us. It's the test. John 11:39-40, Jesus said, and I want you to think about this. I've never really looked at it this way as much, but Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he had been dead 4 days. Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? I try to put myself in the family. Maybe I'm another brother, okay, and I'm there. I'm with Mary and Martha. Jesus could have healed our brother. Jesus is not here. Our brother died, and we had a funeral, and Jesus didn't preach the funeral. He was still gone. We watched our brother get sick. We watched our brother die. We buried our brother. Then Jesus shows up and he says, where is he at? Let's go open the tomb. Have you ever really thought about that? If you were one of the family? I'm not taking away what God can do. And I think Martha struggled with that too. I think she acknowledged, oh yeah, I know he's going to rise again, you know, in the resurrection. I know anything you know God says for you to. She believed, but she still didn't believe. She believed, but she needed help with her areas of unbelief. I mean, we've gone through the pain of a sickness and pain of a death and pain of a funeral. Jesus comes in and wants us to open up the casket again. How is that fair? How is that just? Jesus wants us to come and relive the pain again. He wants us to open up ourselves by opening up that tomb and revisit our brother's dead body that's been dead for 4 days and at the point that it stinks. This is almost too much that you're asking me to do, God. Have you ever been there? What you're asking of me, Lord, we've buried my brother. We felt the pain. What God is asking Martha and Mary to do is to open themselves up and expose themselves. To expose their vulnerabilities, their weaknesses, their limits. God is asking them, Christ is point blank asking them to open up that tomb and expose not just the dead body of their brother, but expose themselves to God, to whatever God wants to do, and believe that God's going to do something beautiful. He said, I want you to put so much trust in me that whatever difficult thing that I may ask you to do, you do it and you trust me. How many of our loved ones that have passed away would we like to go dig up the body and open up the casket again? None, would you? None, none. That's what Jesus asked him to do. Why? Because he had purpose and he had a plan and he had a work that he wanted to accomplish. Because he promised her, he will live now. Great things will be accomplished now if you believe in me. If they hadn't rolled the stone away, would Lazarus still have been raised? Makes you wonder. What things are we preventing God from doing and accomplishing in our lives because we're afraid to roll the stone away and expose ourselves completely and totally to God? Oh, I can go to church on Sunday. Man, I can sing them songs. And I can raise a hand. I can celebrate when somebody gets baptized. I can rejoice and come over here and have a fun time on Wednesday night eating a meal. I can be a part of a youth group, or we can be a part of this trip going down. We can do all those. But God, when you really get into my pocketbook, when you get into the limited amount of time that I have, when you're leading me to go talk to somebody that I don't know and I'm uncomfortable, when you're asking me to do things that are outside of my comfort zone, God, these are tough for me. When you're asking me to be vulnerable to you, when you're telling me to go speak, but I don't have the words yet, God, that's terrifying to me. I don't know if I can do it. If we want to see Lazarus raised from the dead, we got to open up our tomb and let God in. We got to expose ourselves exactly where we're at. Give ourselves completely and totally to Him. And when we do, here's what happens. This is a lesser known passage of Scripture in relation to the raising of Lazarus. John chapter 12 and verse 10 and 11. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. People want to see Jesus. Guess who else people wanted to see? I want to see that dude that was raised from the dead. I want to talk to him. Hey, I want to set up an interview with that guy. What did you see? What was it like? What happened to you? Were you just sleeping? What's going on, Lazarus? You've been dead. You've been gone 4 days. You've been dead. Talk to us. People heard the testimony of Lazarus, which we don't have it. I think God intentionally left that out for good reason. Perhaps what Lazarus saw wasn't meant for our eyes to read. Whatever it is, he shared his testimony and how he was once dead and he is now alive. And because of that, many of the Jews believed on Jesus because of the testimony of Lazarus. This brings us to the impact that you and I have in lives. The opportunity to impact lives. We're going to impact people positively or negatively. We choose which way we're going to impact people. Mary and Martha, reluctant, concerned, discouraged, saddened, broken, rolled the stone away and exposed themselves to Jesus and said, "Listen, we've already buried our brother and you weren't here, but if you're telling us to open up that tomb, we believe in you and we're going to roll that stone back." And when they did, Lazarus came forth, and because of that, many people came to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. You and I have an opportunity to impact this world one person at a time, according to whether we're willing to expose ourselves to Jesus. Don't just serve God. Listen to this. Don't just serve God in the comfortable areas of life. Those are the easy ones. That's kind of like giving out of abundance, isn't it? If I got $1,000, you know, I can give five. No, he's asking us to open up ourselves to him and be vulnerable to him. Jesus went into the temple one day and there was a man there who had a drawn up, withered, is almost maybe grotesque looking hand, and he kept it hid. And Jesus went to him and knew, of course, that the man had the withered hand. And what Jesus asked him to do was a strange thing in the midst of all the people. He asked him to expose his hand. And the man first had to expose his hand before Jesus was going to heal it and bless him and change his life. We must become vulnerable to the Spirit of God in order to see great things happen in our lives. Is that what you want today? Do you want to see great things happen? Do you want great things in your life? Do you want great things in the lives of people around you? Do you want to impact people for the kingdom of God? Then it depends on how we are in our relationship to God. Are we open? Have we rolled the stone away and exposed ourselves before God? Today, let's choose to do that. Maybe you've never met Jesus, and today's a day of salvation for you. Praise God. You come to this altar. Stand, and we're going to have an invitation prayer. Let's pray. God, we come to you. Thank you so much for just the privilege and opportunity to be in your house. How wonderful it is, God, to see the stirring of the water, lives that have been changed, hearts that have been touched and affected by your beautiful Spirit. And God, today, as you bring this next challenge to us about rolling that stone away, making ourselves open and vulnerable before you, Jesus, willing to let you do whatever work you want to do, God, to go where you want us to go, to say what you want us to say, guide our lives, guide our steps, guide our mouth. God, have your way in every area of our lives. Help us today to fall upon this altar and expose ourselves, give ourselves freely unto you, knowing that's the only way we're going to be blessed. That's the only way we're going to have peace that passes all understanding. It's the only way, God, that we're going to be an impact on other lives. I pray, God, that you bring that challenge to our hearts right now and today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.